This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and we're not done yet. We still have to talk about economies of make-believe and looting the treasury. We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to make fun of Ketanji Brown Jackson and Dome. That's always a good time. Hopefully get to some emails, all that, so much more coming up in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And if you don't like that,
shut up.
I can't help it, Chris. It's too funny. This woman's just, she drinks a lot.
Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
You're not even serious. Get me a beer. Somebody give me a beer. All right, quit. Focus. Obviously, we have had a discussion before about what communists do with power. What do they do? What are the two things they do? They reward their friends. They punish their enemies. And I've used the example before many times about a bank robbers. If I want to go down and rob a bank, there's a bank across the street. If I want to rob it, I could go in there by myself, get a gun. Might have a gun, but get my gun, get a ski mask, or maybe something cooler. Anyway, get a ski mask. I could go in and everybody put your hands up. Give me the $500 in the register. I can do that. Now, if I'm by myself, am I going to be able to disable the security system, keep the people from calling the cops, get my way down into the bank vault, open the bank vault, fill up a bunch of bags full of them? Am I going to be able to do that by myself? Of course not. If I'm going to do that, well, that's a big job that's going to require a large group of people. So if I go grab 10 bank robber guys in the area, and we sit down and come up with a plan, well, I can skip the cash register. I don't need $500 from the cash register. I'll go down to the bank vault and take $5 million. This is how the communist looks at political power and the access to your money, the access to the treasury, wherever he takes power, whether it be city, state, federal, wherever he takes power, this is how he operates. We really saw this cranked into overdrive during the Biden administration, but they've been operating like this for the longest time. You gain access to the treasury and you loot it. You loot it as fast as you possibly can. You swipe all the money out there and you hand it out to all of your friends, all of your financiers. You steal from the taxpayer and hand out the money. There is no better example of this than the, quote, green movement. I'm talking about all the climate communist insanity that SUVs are making the planet warmer and all that idiocy. What's that all about? It's about two things. The climate change global warming movement is about destroying everything because it's the most destructive part of communism by far. Race communism is the easiest one to sell. Climate communism is the most damaging because it's the one that can really burn everything down. So it's about two things. It's about destroying everything, and it's about stealing gigantic quantities of your money. It gives them an excuse to dip their greedy fingers in the treasury and hand it out to their friends and family. Now, here's the problem, and this is a problem for a lot of different parts of the world, a lot of different parts of our society. The naivete of even high up people, even highly educated people, as to what exactly is going on. You've heard me complain before about pastors who don't follow the news, don't study politics. What's that, a border? But that's terrible, man. Come on. You can read your Bible in the news. Come on. It also applies to the business world. These business people, they can get caught up in gigantic government checks, in financial incentives, and it can create for them the illusion that there is an economy for something, and that economy doesn't exist at all. The green movement, as they call it, the climate communism movement, is the best in the world at this. This headline made me snicker. Ford CEO admits the electric vehicle market will be, quote, way smaller than we thought. Now, maybe you have an electric vehicle. Maybe you don't. I don't have one. I personally don't have anything against them. It's just not my thing. But where did this electric vehicle market, where did the idea of it come from? Well, the Biden administration, in large part, stole a large, large portion of the United States Treasury, and they handed that money, the money they stole from you, out to electric vehicle companies, really car companies, incentivizing them to go all electric. They handed that money to solar companies, all these different friends and allies of the Communist Party. They got large bags of your money, and this created in people, including in the business world, an illusion that there is a market where there is not a market. Now, this is a story about a car company. Did you know Europe, countries like Germany, they're looking at complete grid system collapse? We're talking modern countries where people are going to lose power for days on end because the treasury is not unlimited, you see. You can loot it for a while and loot it for a while and loot it for a while and create this image that there is a market for something, but there's not an actual market for it. And in the end, you are going to need the money. You're going to need it for something. And if you've already looted it, then it's gone. All these subsidies for this and solar for this and that, it has a gigantic cost. And it's going to cost American businesses a fortune when the market finally works itself out, because there is no market for this going green filth. There's no market for it. The entire market is fake, and it's fake with your money. Democrat politicians, local, state, and federal, steal your money and create a fake market for a fake industry just so they can reward their friends with the money you work hard for. They stole 25% of the money you earn today, and Democrat politicians will hand it out to their financiers as fast as they can get their hands on it. That is the truth. Jesse, your nemesis Clay Travis once again dissed you by bringing up the $75 tequila shot incident. He said you had poor judgment and lacked thinking skills. Are you going to let this besmirchment of your character stand? Clay needs to let this go. This is years ago. Years ago. I didn't know what they cost. I don't really drink tequila. And I certainly have never really had any fancy tequilas. And it was a rooftop, one of these celebration things in New York City. And I ordered it. And what, Chris? See, yeah, that's another good point, Chris. Chris said if it's a rooftop in New York City, the bar itself costs a fortune. Everything costs a fortune in New York City. And I don't live there. I was just there. And Buck was there, of course. Buck said it's expensive. He never said how expensive. I didn't understand there was anything in the world, any drink in the world that costs $75. That's not a thing that ever existed for the entirety of my life. But after it was ordered and the information about how much it cost came out, Clay still reached in his wallet and insisted on paying. And to this day, he puts it on me. You volunteered to pay. I said I would pay. Now, I mean, did I kind of alligator arm when I was reaching for my wallet? No. You shouldn't. Hold on. Hang on. It gets caught in my pocket. Oh, is the waitress already gone? Dang it. Did I do a little of that? Maybe. I can't confirm or deny. $75 times 3 is a lot of money. So, hey, look, it's Clay. If I could, I would steal his credit card information and put everything I buy on Clay's credit card. I'm not above that at all. He deserves that. He totally does. What, Chris? He does. Me? I think about these things because my mind is razor sharp, because my mind has been sharpened by chalk. This is why I'm going to be able to be a ninja, even though Chris has already been insulting about it. I'm going to be better at ninja training than people think. There's a lot of climbing involved. I'm ready. My testosterone levels are through the roof. I've been on a male vitality stack from chalk for about 4 years. I have so much testosterone now, it's coming out of my pores. I'm ready to be a ninja because of chalk. Are you ready to go for a walk after work instead of plopping down in a chair? You're ready to feel good all the time instead of tired all the time? Chalk has things for men, things for women. If you're a workout freak, they got all kinds of stuff for you. Maybe you're just looking to get some vitamins and minerals in your life. Put some chocolate powder in a smoothie and a glass of milk in the morning. It's time to chalk up. See, and what, Chris? Isn't that, that's what you say. Chalk, I think that's what kids say. Chalk up. C-H-O-Q. I don't know how the kids spell it. Chalk.com/Jesse. Go get a subscription. Feel good all the time. We'll do some emails next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Shut up.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Or Thursday. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday because I'm not going to be here Friday. Not my fault. The suits have called. I have to go do something. You can email me your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before we get to any more of these emails, remember Katie Porker running for governor of California, former congresswoman. She's just really mean. This is the woman who dumped boiling potatoes on her ex-husband. Been caught on camera multiple times screaming at staffers, sat down for an interview. It didn't go well.
You just said you don't need those Trump voters.
Well, you asked me if I needed them to win.
So you don't
think I feel like this is unnecessarily argumentative. What is your question?
The question is the same thing I asked everybody, that this is being called the empowering voters to stop Trump's power grab. Every other candidate has answered this question. This is not
argumentative. And I said I support it.
So, and the question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
Just an unpleasant person. We've all known a mean person in our lives. Somebody who's just kind of treating people like crap all the time. Well, that's Katie Porker. And remember I came on the radio and I said, the problem Katie Porker is going to have is being governor of California is significantly bigger than being a congresswoman from California. And because the job itself is bigger, if you have treated people terribly your entire life, there's a greater chance that it's going to come back to burn you when you are going for a bigger job. Well, I don't know that we've seen the last of the damaging Katie Porker videos. She just sat down for another interview and here's what she said.
Can voters be confident that there won't be another one of those videos that's going to come to light?
What I do know is that I could have done better on that situation.
But that's not a no. So is there potentially another video that we're going to see?
Nikki, I'm going to be honest with you. I know that video was several years ago, as you know. And I apologize to the staffer. That's super important to me. And will continue to try to hold myself to do better. That's what I can promise.
But not that there's not going to be any more videos, because that's what people are wondering. Are we going to see something else like that?
I can tell you what I've told you, which is that I am taking responsibility for this situation, and I'm also not going to back down from fighting back for California, from being tough. I don't think this is a moment where the same old is going to cut it. But that doesn't change the fact that what I did to that staffer was wrong. I've acknowledged it to her in that moment, and I'm acknowledging it now.
There's more video. There's going to be more. You know it. I know. Obviously, that was two interviews that we saw together. Do you think that's the only time she's ever spoken to somebody like that? There are people out there in every industry. You have them in your industry, whatever that is, or in your school, if you're in school. There are people out there who have a reputation for treating everyone around them like crap. And those who are inside of the industry, you know who those people are. And when the story comes out and the general public finally finds out about it, they're generally shocked. But everyone who knows goes, oh, yeah, that's no surprising at all. Some people just treat everyone like crap. That's what they do. Katie Porker is an awful human being who treats everyone around her like dirt. She's a terrible person. And she is such a mean person. It's not that I think California is going to go Republican, although that would be nice. I could actually see Katie Porker losing the primary. Even a primary she's currently winning, according to the polls. I could see her losing the primary just because she's so insanely unpleasant. Just an unpleasant person. Jesse, what would you say to your sons? Oh, the subject of this one is not narking. What would you say to your sons knowing something like the dope head in your building bathroom and you not telling the manager? What conversation with your son, what would that sound like? So a lie is okay. Oh, this is about that pothead I found in the building bathroom. He was the only one in there and I walked and it reeked like weed. And then I ran into one of the guys who's in charge, who I know in that business. And I told him that there was a guy there, and then he asked who it was, and I just played dumb, even though I know who it was. I was like, I don't know, I'm not really sure, because I can't bring myself to narc on people. It's just not what I do. My sons are not allowed to tattle either. They're not allowed to tattle on each other. That is punished in my house. You don't ever get to come and say, hey, I saw James steal a cookie. Hey, I saw Luke, he was watching TV when he wasn't allowed to. That is not allowed in my house. We are not allowed to do that. You don't do that. That is expressly forbidden in the Kelly household. Expressly forbidden. All right. So you want to feel better about something, about some of these DEI freaks in our society who've risen to the highest levels of power, even though they don't have the ability, they don't have the capability. After we go talk to Savannah Hernandez, which we'll do here in just a couple minutes, we're going to talk to her about Antifa and street animals and things like that. I'm going to make you feel better about some of these DEI turds. Maybe I'll make you feel better. I guess it could make you feel worse. Before we do that, you know what would make you feel way worse? If you got assaulted in the parking lot by an evil animal and you didn't have anything to protect yourself. That would make you feel really bad. In fact, it might kill you. What do you walk around with on your body that would allow you to stop a bad man? I just watched a video during the break. It's terrible. Young woman working at a hotel, clocks out at 11 o'clock at night. Street animal follows her through the dark parking lot, and now her parents are burying her. What does your daughter carry? Get a Byrna for yourself, for the people you love. I don't care about the gun laws in your area. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. It will shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls or kinetic rounds. And that savage who has a knife coming at your daughter will be laying there in agonizing pain while she gets off scot-free and celebrates Christmas with you this year. Go to BYRNA.com, Byrna.com, and get one for yourself and someone you love. Byrna.com. We'll be back with Savannah.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Gosh, turn that off, Chris. Did Savannah request that? That was awful. Rap music. Joining me now, friend of mine, Savannah Hernandez, great reporter with TPUSA. What was that, Savannah? That was dreadful.
Look, that was OG Kanye, okay, Jesse, before he went crazy. And it is an incredible opening song to a show, so you're welcome.
Yeah, I didn't even understand what was being said. But you know what? We're going to set that aside. I'm already turning into my father here. And I want to talk about Antifa, because I know you were at this meeting with the White House, sitting down with the man and the administration. What was the purpose? Why drag you there? What was the purpose of this?
So we all got an invite. And when I say we, I mean independent journalists who have been on the ground for almost a decade at this point, not all of us that long, but have been covering Antifa violence on the streets of America for years as the mainstream media has looked the other way. So we were called to the White House to discuss with the president and various members of his administration what's actually going on in the streets of America, because if you look to the mainstream media, they will tell you that Antifa doesn't exist, that we are making all of this up. Meanwhile, you have the Portland ICE facility in Portland that has been under siege for 120 days. You also have Katie Davis Court, who has been on the ground for the majority of that, who was just assaulted by Portland Antifa just 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was myself on the ground there. So we were there to tell the truth about what was happening. And it was incredible, Jesse, because they actually brought the entire press pool in front of the meeting to force the media to listen to what we had to say regarding Antifa and force the media to report on it.
Savannah, okay, so you said under siege, the ICE facility under siege. All most people know is the video they see from people like you online. You know, they see the riots, they see the masks, but what is it like on the ground? Are they always violent? Are they cooking marshmallows? Who are these people? What are they like? What are they doing?
You know, Jesse, it's funny because it's actually a mix of the two. And right now what we're seeing is Antifa members that are dressing up in these big blow-up costumes to make it look like these protests are peaceful and they're fun and it's just Americans expressing their First Amendment rights. But these started on June 4th, and they started by Antifa members blocking ICE vehicles, which is something we've now seen spread across the entire nation. On top of that, they zip-tied the doors closed to the ICE facility and tried to light the building on fire with ICE agents inside. Also, if you go to the angle of investigative journalists who have been on the ground, you know, we've been getting attacked. The first time that I went there in July to go and report on what was happening, for simply being outside and pointing a camera, the Antifa members out there started hunting me down, because oftentimes they do not like the press, any type of press, whether you're local, independent, take your pick. They don't like people there filming, because there are oftentimes many criminal acts happening. So, you know, there are some nights in which they're going to be more peaceful. There are other nights in which you have bigger events in which you are seeing a lot of arson. When I was there in July, you had the entire ICE facility that was graffitied with things like "kill ICE," "the only good cop is a dead cop," and "shoot ICE pigs." That's all since been cleaned up, thank goodness. But surrounding the area are still, you know, there's an assault tally list, Jesse, with the names of reporters that these Antifa members have repeatedly assaulted and a tally of how many times they've done that.
Good God. Speaking with reporter Savannah Hernandez. Okay, Savannah, now I hate to ask a stupid question, but that's who I am. They're zip-tying doors shut. They're graffitiing the building. How are all of these people not arrested? How is it that you can stand at all in front of an ICE vehicle and it's not immediate handcuffs and charges for everybody? What are we doing about this?
Yeah, Jesse, that is a really great question. And I have been talking to a lot of officials on the ground, and again, reporters who have been covering this. And the reason why we're seeing these agitators again and again is because there's essentially a three-strike rule. So you can get arrested, and essentially what happens with that is, okay, you're blocking an ICE vehicle, you're impeding these federal officials, maybe you push them, right, which typically would be a federal offense. But what happens is you get arrested, you get brought into the ICE facility, you get a citation, and you basically get three strikes before you actually get hit with felony charges. What? So that's why we're seeing these people on the ground again and again and again. And also, Antifa is very highly coordinated. So, for example, when Katie Davis Court was knocked in the face with a steel pole, the Antifa member who did that to her was then whisked away and protected and covered by other Antifa members in the area. Katie also immediately went to Portland police, but because they refused to work alongside ICE, when they see violence like this happening, they basically say, yeah, sorry, it's too violent for us to step in and do anything, and then they look the other way.
What about you? Meaning, when I say you, I'm not necessarily just talking specifically about you. Any reporter on the ground, anyone unmasked, pointing cameras, you already said they don't like it. What Is there any level of protection there from the local police department? Is there an area that is fenced off? How does that work?
So basically, there is a portion of the sidewalk that is federal property, and then the rest of the street is state property, right? So any portion of that street would essentially be under the jurisdiction of Portland PD. And again, they're very soft on crime. They're oftentimes looking the other way. And what has been happening, and this is a repeated pattern, is the people who get attacked and defend themselves, they are the ones who end up getting arrested. We saw this with Nick Sartor. This also recently happened just this week, because again, there are other Americans there who just are in the city of Portland, right, that are residents that are tired of this happening, who will go down and say, hey, we are exhausted with hearing the noise. It's been going on for over 100 days. Please stop. They'll get attacked if they defend themselves. The Portland police come in, and then those people get arrested. Keep in mind, too, that the Portland residents have been so abandoned by their state and local government that they have had to sue the city of Portland because Portland police refuse to do anything about enforcing noise ordinances.
Good God. All right, Savannah, let's go back to the meeting at the White House. I understand he brought in the press for you guys gave your testimony in front of the press. I understand all that. Did you get the impression from the Trump administration that they are dead serious about breaking this organization up? Or, and you can be honest, is this a dog and pony show that looks really good, sounds really good, but nothing's being done? This has to stop.
You know, Jesse, this is a very valid question and one that many Americans have had, so I'm glad that you're asking it. I have asked this question myself, so when I give this response, understand that this has been my sentiment too. I'm exhausted. I have been beaten up and mobbed by Antifa myself and robbed by them. So, you know, I kind of went into this with that same viewpoint, and the administration thus far has followed up very thoroughly on a lot of our investigative reporting. And I am hoping and praying, and from what I'm hearing behind the scenes so far, it does seem like they are utilizing the full force of the IRS to go after the people funding these organizations. You also have Andy Ngo, who knows all of the leaders, right? The media loves to say that Antifa doesn't have a leader, that it's super decentralized. That's not true. There are named people who have created Antifa websites, that created Antifa chapters across the nation, and have donated to Antifa rioters and helped them, get out of jail once they committed those violent acts. So there has been a lot of follow-up on the back end to investigate all of this and to make sure that all of our footage, all of our reporting is being utilized. So time will tell, but as of now, it does seem like they are taking this very seriously.
Did you eat anything decent in Portland?
You know what, Jesse? They have really great cinnamon rolls over there. I'm not going to lie. And I love that, it's so chaotic in Portland because I'm usually having to utilize a lot of cardio. So I eat a lot of carbs and then I'm able to, burn all of that off when I'm getting chased by rioters in the street.
Yeah, no, you got to fuel up for fleeing from dirty, rotten street communists. Savannah Hernandez, go find her on social media. She does good stuff. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Hey, Chris, you people eat cinnamon rolls, right? Those are kosher. Are you a big cinnamon roll guy? That's kind of where I'm at. They're okay. Now, don't get me wrong. It's one of those things. A real good one can be heaven. How many real good ones are there? They get too crusty on the outside. There's not enough frosting. There's not enough cinnamon. I think, what? It is a little heavy. It's a little heavy. I like to eat the middle out. I do that with the kids. If Ab ever makes cinnamon rolls, which she doesn't much because they're unhealthy, I'll just go take the middles out of two or three and give the rest of it to the boys. They get so mad. What, Chris? I paid for them. I can do that. You paid for preborn. You saved lives. Did you know that? When you give to preborn, it's saving lives. Every day, you and preborn save lives, and the stories are enough to melt your heart. And by the way, when you start to give to preborn and you start giving these free ultrasounds to women who are about to have abortions and they choose life, you know that preborn, they'll update you from time to time on these stories and what you do. Do you want to feel great about something? Give $28 to preborn. Look, you could do more. Remember, it's tax deductible and the year end is coming. Give to preborn. Give to preborn. Save a baby's life and You'll love yourself for it when you get these stories. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful hump day, a Wednesday. But I shall return tomorrow for our last show of the week. I'm sorry. Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And remember,
why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talk?
Grandma Vodka had a couple extra mimosas at lunch today. Feeling a little loose. The joints all greased up. And she was ready to go to war with somebody. Gave her the old shut up. And you could tell the dentures almost came out.
Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't.
All right, quit. You want to feel better about something? I know that you've been frustrated. I've been frustrated with being such a DEI country where everybody's trying to diversify everything, and that's resulted in a bunch of very unqualified loser turds rising to high positions of power. And of course, that's horrible and bad for the country. Yeah, I got all that. But you know that most of these people know they're unqualified, right? And they're uncomfortable. So they try to overcompensate. You know, Dome, you think Dome thinks she's smart? She doesn't. You think she thinks she has a good personality, charm? She doesn't. She knows. She has eyes. She has ears. She knows she doesn't know anything about anything. She knows people don't really care for her. She understands that the only reason she got her start in politics was she was young and attractive. She found an older man and she dated him and he gave her her start. She understands that. She knows. And she understands that she was able to rise up through California's political system. Because as a minority woman, she was virtually untouchable in a state like that. She had to be treated with kid gloves. She knows. She knows. Every job she's ever walked into, Attorney General of California, that's a really big deal, Senator of California, Vice President, she knew when she walked in the office, she was not ready to be there. She knows. So what do? They overcompensate. This is why these people say things like this.
Well, some people have actually said I was the most qualified candidate ever to run for president.
I like the some people say. Very nice. But go ahead.
I'm just speaking fact.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever said that. And she knows that. She knows that she doesn't have what it takes. She knows that she's only there because she's a black woman. She is. Joe, don't get mad at me. Joe Biden said it. Said his vice president's going to be a woman and black. That's what he said. She knows. She gets it. Ketanji Brown Jackson gets it too. She has a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court. She will be there for the rest of her life. Remember, the communists stay forever. She's never going to give up power. For the rest of her life, she will sit on the Supreme Court. And she will have a hand in deciding the most important cases that will have a huge, huge impact on the future of the United States of America. She knows. She knows she's not qualified. She knows, again, Joe Biden said it. Don't get mad at me. She knows she's only there because she's a black woman. She knows. She knows she's not qualified. And, man, is she not qualified?
Congress passed the Americans with Disabilities Act against the backdrop of a world that was generally not accessible to people with disabilities. And it didn't matter whether the person who built the building or the person who owned the building intended for them to be exclusionary. That's irrelevant. Congress said the facilities have to be made equally open to people with disabilities if readily possible. I guess I don't understand why that's not what's happening here. The idea in Section 2 is that we are responding to current day manifestations of past and present decisions that disadvantage minorities and make it so that they don't have equal access to the voting system, right? They're disabled.
That was Ketanji Brown Jackson arguing that race-based districting, which is something we have in America, where they carve out a district just so it's black, that was her arguing that's equivalent to Americans with disabilities. This woman is on the Supreme Court until the day she dies or retires. And this is what DEI gets you. This is what the concept of diversity gets you. You know who you almost have to feel bad for? Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas, black man, grew up in unimaginable poverty, has risen to become one of the giants of our movement. So smart, so sharp. He was a black man. He was there a long time ago, and it wasn't for DEI reasons. It wasn't because anyone was trying to diversify anything. He's just been there killing it for years. And imagine how agonizing it has to be for Clarence Thomas to look at that moron every single day and the dumb crap that comes out of her mouth. And he knows that even though it's unfair, he's going to be lumped in with that. Totally unfair. And Clarence Thomas should be the black face of wonderful, wonderful judges in America, but he's not. Ketanji Brown Jackson never shuts up. Nobody can get a word in edgewise. Poor Clarence Thomas. You got to feel for the freaking guy.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
State Department boots foreigners who celebrated Charlie Kirk's assassination. I am just so unbelievably happy that we've gotten to this point where we don't have to include everybody. Everybody isn't welcome here. And we're putting that message out loud and clear. If you are a foreigner and you are here, mind your P's and Q's, be on your best behavior. We are a sovereign country and you will be removed if you do not. I love it. Vatican Library opens prayer room for Muslims. Oh, good. More tolerance. Activists outraged at queer erasure after government Abbott orders removal of Pride crosswalk and BLM mural. Yes, tear down all of their monuments and purge it. Columbia tells students and staff how to respond to ICE agents, instructs them to lock the doors. Another reminder that the longer your child spends on college campus, the greater the chances you will lose them to the religion of communism. And sadly, the, quote, better university you send them to, your odds go higher and higher. I will see you tomorrow for Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.